Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
My name is Eric Colquitt. I am the Connection Pastor here, and I'm excited to finish up the series we've been in called Sing Along. What we've been doing in this series is taking Christmas classics like the one we just heard, and we've been thinking about the message of these songs, and we've been asking ourselves this one simple question. Is that right? Is that right? This song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, was written by Irving Berlin. Many think that he wrote this song in sunny California, a long way from a wintry scene, a long way from that white Christmas he's thinking about. And I grew up in the South, so I can't really relate to a white Christmas. I can't really relate to what this song is talking about. But I can relate to the feeling that the song is talking about, that dreaming, that thinking of times in the past. And so today what we must do is ask ourselves that question, is that right? Is it right to remember times in the past, times long ago? Is that the right thing to do? Many of you I know in here are on Facebook. And how many of you guys love the app on Facebook called TimeHop? Anybody like that? Okay, one or two, that's okay. TimeHop is pretty cool because what it does is it gives you a snapshot of what you were doing this time last year or maybe this time 6 years ago. So it's kind of cool to see and remember and relive those times in the past. A lot of us love to sit around and think about the past. We love to sit around and talk about the good old days, right? Oh, when life was much simpler, when everybody was so nice to each other. We just love talking about those times. We love to, in my family, we love to even talk to our kids about what life was like when we were kids. We talk to them about, hey, there was a time, there wasn't an iPhone, there wasn't this device you could just pick up and do whatever you want on. There was a time where you couldn't turn on the TV and have 8,000 channels to pick up from whatever you wanted to watch. No, we had to create our own fun. We had to be creative and get out there and do things on our own. We love to talk about how things used to be. As the guys were saying earlier, we are 1 week away from Christmas. And you procrastinators, now's your go time. It's time to get it all wrapped up, right? You love this feeling of it's go time. But around Christmas time, it's a natural time for us to think about the past and think about how things once were. And many times as we think about the past, we think about Christmas, we think about the traditions that we always do. Like we always have to go to Meemaw's house on Christmas Day, right? We have to do that because why? We've always done that. We love spending time with her and eating all that good food. Maybe you get that Christmas china out, the Christmas plates that you eat on once a year. Why do you do that? Well, it's because you've always done it that way, and it helps you remember Christmases in the past. I know some of you get out your recipes and cook those Christmas cookies, and you love doing that. You love making those with your family because it reminds you of when you did that as a kid with your parents or grandparents. So we love to think about the past. For some of us, this even turns into a hobby for us, and a hobby that sometimes where we find ourselves with storage units full of stuff that we never even look at. If you like to antique, this is a hobby that is related to thinking about the past. I have a small hobby as it relates to thinking about the past. It's kind of minor. My wife would say it's major, but it's really not that big of a deal. I like to keep little trinkets and things from the past, things I've experienced, little ticket stubs, and one part of this hobby I have is collecting shirts, T-shirts, and shirts from my past. I'm sure some others in here have that. There we go. We got one over here. It has that same kind of hobby. And it's really not that big a deal. So let's take a stroll down memory lane, shall we? Can we have these shirts, April? She loves these shirts. She can't wait to hand them to me. So it's really not that big a deal, but I may or may not have shirts from my high school days, okay? And that is what you think it says, the FFA. I was a proud member of the Future Farmers of America. Shout out to my ag teacher, Mr. Dewberry. I clearly became a farmer, right? So I've got shirts from my high school days. It didn't stop when my hobby didn't stop when I went to college. In fact, it got kind of worse because I worked at a screen printing place, and so I could just create as many shirts as I wanted. So I have many shirts from my high school days. The Auburn shirts, of course, War Eagle, that's right. And then there's this beauty from my high school days. Check this one out. Look at that. It is what you think it says. It says what you think it says. Trailer park trash. There's a long story behind this, but I was a part of a softball team, and we called ourselves the Trailer Park Trash. So that hobby didn't die down when I left college. No, here is the first Wellspring shirt I ever got. Look at that. Anybody remember that? Ask me about my church. Yeah, if anybody would like that, we can negotiate a price in the lobby after this is over. So I'll give you these back. Please don't burn them.
You might want one.
No, they're fine. So it's not that big a deal, right? I need some help. Collecting shirts is not that big a deal, right? No, it's not that big a deal. Well, I counted recently, and I have well over 70 shirts from my past. I know, it's bad. But the point is, we all love to think about the past. We all love to think about times long ago. And so for us today, what we have to do is spend some time asking ourselves, again, is that right? Should we be doing this? Should we be spending time thinking about the past? Well, is that the right thing? Is that what's best for us? Well, maybe, and sometimes. But the problem lies for us when we find ourselves in a situation where it goes beyond just simply collecting t-shirts that sit up on shelves and take up space. The problem lies for us when it begins to affect us and affect all the people around us. When we think about the past and when we find ourselves stuck in the past. The issue becomes as we think about the past and we find ourselves stuck there, not being able to move forward. I want you to know today that no matter how great your past was or how damaging your past was, I want you to know today that God has a better plan for your future. And as we talk today, what we want to do is look at different ways that where our focus should be. We need to come up with different abilities, different things to help us move beyond the past. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, what we're going to talk about today is this, that we must leave the past and focus on what lasts. Today, we're going to talk about how to leave the past and focus on what lasts. Now, that sounds simple, I know, but we're going to talk today about how we do that. And over the next few minutes, what I want to do is talk about three areas that we commonly find ourselves stuck in the past. In order to figure out how to move on from our past, we have to identify how we got there in the first place. And I just want to warn you, these three areas are going to seem like a bit of a downer. It's going to seem a little depressing on this week before Christmas, but I promise if you stick with me, we'll get through it, and there's a resolution at the end, okay? So three areas that cause us to become stuck. What are they? Well, the first one is something I like to call the Uncle Rico syndrome. The Uncle Rico syndrome. That's right. The Uncle Rico syndrome. Now, I know some of you immediately know what that is, right? You immediately understand what I'm talking about here. But for some of you, I know that you're like, what is he talking about? Uncle Rico comes from a very popular very popular movie. It's a little dated at this point, called Napoleon Dynamite. Anybody Napoleon Dynamite fans? Okay, so for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I thought it'd be better, instead of explaining what he was all about, that I would show you. Check this out.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I gotta go.
How much much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah, if coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things have been different. I'd have gone pro. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Kill. I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Right on.
Right on. Right on, right? I love it, Uncle Rico. What I love about it is he's supposedly this great passer, but when he throws the stake, he does that sidearm thing. It's really funny. The Uncle Rico syndrome, he perfectly illustrates what can happen to us when we find ourselves stuck in the past. Because Uncle Rico, if you're an Uncle Rico person, if you have that tendency, you see the past is as good as it'll ever get. You find yourself stuck, and your wheels are spinning, and for you, that's kind of okay, because the past is where you want to be. You don't really even care about what's happening in the present. If you have the Uncle Rico syndrome, there's some different ways that this kind of shows itself. Some other examples of this is it kind of goes beyond simply the collecting of the T-shirts. If you have this kind of the Uncle Rico syndrome, it's when you take things from your past and not only do you collect them, but you surround yourself with them so that that's all that you can see. And that's all that your focus is on, because that's when you truly love life. Maybe it's that job that you used to have, the one that you loved. Man, if I could just go back to that job I had. I took a chance on this other job, but man, if I could go back to that job, that was when I was most fulfilled. Or some of us, maybe sometimes we think about our college days, and we're like, man, I'd love to relive those times, you know, when I didn't have any responsibility. I could stay up as late as I wanted to and not have any kind of negative consequences on me the next day. Some of us like to think about our kids when they were little and sweet. That's funny, but sometimes it affects us because we can't appreciate our children for who they are today, because all we are is thinking about them in the past. If you have the Uncle Rico syndrome, there are many ways that this is damaging. There are many ways it causes you to become stuck. The first way is that your day-to-day task, what you see doing every day, the mundane task of daily life, becomes kind of a difficult thing to do. It's very hard for you to find joy and to find happiness in your daily life. Another way that this can be damaging is for the people around you. And this shows itself by the unrealistic expectations that we place on our children. Think about the dad that almost played college sports. He was right there, but just didn't get that offer. And in turn, now you place that expectation on your son or daughter for them to measure up, for them to take that step that you never got to take. Or maybe it's the mom who maybe got married too late in life. And now you put all that pressure on your son or daughter to get married a little earlier so that they can experience happiness earlier. These are the ways that the Uncle Rico syndrome can cause us great damage. These are the way the Uncle Rico syndrome can cause us to become stuck in our past. Check out what Ecclesiastes says here in the Old Testament. He says, "Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise." I love this language. Don't long for the good old days. You see, we think that's kind of a modern way of talking, but even in the Old Testament, they were saying, don't long for the good old days, because this is not wise. It's not wise for our focus to be on where we come from, because we're stuck. So the first way that we find ourselves stuck, the first way that causes us to be stuck, is the Uncle Rico syndrome. This is when the past was the best as it'll ever be. There's no reason to move forward into what God wants us to do because the past was the best. The second way is the painful past. A painful past. For some of us, our past is not glamorous at all. It's not something we enjoy thinking about very much. But for whatever reason, we're stuck there because of what we've experienced. We've gone through something very painful that's left a scar, and we can't move on from it. Examples of this could be maybe abusive parents that you grew up with, or maybe a traumatic injury that you experienced that has taken years to overcome, or maybe you're still trying to deal with it. Other examples of this are maybe an unexpected loss of a loved one that just caught you out of nowhere. Another example of this is maybe a bad relationship that you experienced. It's taking you time to overcome. You're stuck in the past because something painful happened to you. And what I want you to know today, and I in no way want to minimize the pain that you've experienced, because it's very serious. And for many of us, we need to seek out professional help to overcome whatever you've experienced. If there's pain in your past, it can definitely cause you to be stuck. But to become all that God wants us to become, to step into the plan that he has for us, we must figure out ways to move beyond our painful past. So the first one is the Uncle Rico syndrome. It's the past is as good as it'll ever be. The second one is a painful past, something that has scarred us. And the third is this, the wrong voices. The wrong voices. What are we talking about here? Well, the wrong voices are people that surround you. These are the people that you hear the most. And you may not instantly think about people in your life as causing you to become stuck in the past. But let me explain it this way. If you have the wrong voices in your life, people that are taking you away from God instead of towards God, if they are doing that, if that's what's happening in your life, eventually you'll become stuck because you will have no desire to step into what God wants you to become. Because these people around you have no interest in that, and they're not helping you move in that direction. So the wrong voice can cause you to become stuck. How is this damaging? Well, as you have the wrong people in your life, if they're around you constantly, they'll lead you down a road that you never thought you would be on. And sometimes it takes years to overcome. So three main ways that cause us to become stuck: the Uncle Rico syndrome, the painful past, and the wrong voices. I told you they were kind of a downer, a little bit depressing, but we made it through, okay? We made it. So now let's flip it around. Let's talk about how we overcome those difficult things in our life so that we can not be stuck anymore. The first way that we do that, what we're going to do is figure out how to leave the past and focus on what lasts. And the first way we do that is to faith it, not fake it. Faith it. In order to move on from our past, we must begin to place our faith in God. And no matter if you're here today and you know God, or if you don't know God here today, ultimately the only solution to moving beyond your past is to faith it. And if you find yourself here today and you don't know God, we're so glad you're here. But in order to truly place your faith in God, you'll need to take a step to trust him, to follow him. And I hope over the next few minutes, as we talk, that you will find ways, you will open your heart and accept him in your life. But what does faith it mean? In order to explain what that means, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, because he gives us a clue about how to overcome our past. Check this out. The writer of the book of Hebrews says it begins with faith. Faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith shows us the reality of things hoped for. Another translation says it gives us the assurance of things hoped for. Assurance is confidence in one's own ability. You see, when we we turn our faith to God and we allow him to guide our steps, it's kind of a freeing thing. Because, say, for example, you have the Uncle Rico syndrome. Your confidence is in your own abilities. Your confidence was way back there when life was the best in your mind. But when you turn your faith to God and you allow Him to change your life and guide your steps, it's freeing. Because the pressure isn't on you. It's in God's hands. So faith it. In the next few verses of in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, the writer spends some time talking about men and women who have overcome great things for God. People that were asked to do huge things. And instead of being stuck where they are, they took a chance. They followed God. And He was able to bless them. And they were able to overcome some amazing things. So for just a second, I want to highlight a few of these and talk through them. And I think we can learn some things from them. The first one that he mentioned in the book is Noah. Noah. Noah was a guy that definitely had the wrong voices in his life. There were people all around Noah that were definitely running away as far fast as they could from God. God asked Noah to build a boat because he was going to flood the earth. And as he was doing that, these wrong voices came around Noah and were like, what are you doing? What is this thing you're building? You can't do this crazy thing. But what Noah chose to do instead was to trust God. And he moved on from the past and he followed God. And he took a step towards God. He moved away from the wrong voices in his life and instead trusted God. Another one I want to point out is Abraham. Abraham's a guy that could have definitely had the Uncle Rico syndrome. You see, because Abraham was asked to do something, he was asked by God to leave the only place he had ever known, the only place he had ever lived, to go to a place that God was going to reveal to him later. And so Abraham would have had an opportunity to say, but God, this is where it's best. This is where I'm comfortable. This is what I know. And instead, he decided to take a step of faith and trust God, and God blessed him greatly. His wife, Sarah, also had a chance to become stuck in her past. Sarah and Abraham were promised many children, many descendants, so that they would be blessed and the nation would become great. But by the age of 90, Sarah still hadn't had a child. And so you could say that was a painful past. She'd come through a lot of pain wondering where God was. And instead of being stuck there, Sarah kept trusting God. And eventually, at the age of 90, she had a child. And God blessed her and blessed them. The next one is Joseph. Talk about a guy who had a painful past. Joseph definitely had a painful past. His brothers sold him into slavery. That's rough. And instead of letting that make him become stuck in life where he couldn't move forward, Joseph trusted God. He continued to trust God. He took steps of faith, and God blessed him greatly. Joseph ended up being one of the rulers of the entire nation. The next one I want to look at is David. Talk about another guy who could have had the Uncle Rico syndrome. David was a shepherd boy, and he was a very successful shepherd boy. In fact, the Bible says that he killed lions and bears with his bare hands. So he was good at guarding the sheep. One day, God asked him to leave that and go do something great and ultimately become king. David could have very easily said, no, God, I'm good. This is where life's the best, right here watching these sheep. Instead, he chose to trust God. He chose to place his faith in God. And God blessed him greatly. So the number one way that we can move on from becoming stuck in our lives is to faith it. To place our faith in God. To trust Him with our steps. To take that ability, that confidence in our own self, and lay it at God's feet. To let Him help us move through life and step into all that He wants us to become. So how do we leave the past and focus on what lasts? Faith it. Number two, how do we leave the past and focus on what lasts? We need to find the right voices. We need to find the right voices. This is kind of obvious after what we've just talked about with the wrong voices. But in order to move on, step into what God wants us to become, we have to get the right people around us. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews and check out what he says. This is later on. So we read the verse in the first part of chapter 11. This is in chapter 12. So he's saying, therefore, since we've had all these great examples of people, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. What he's saying is we've got all these people around us that give us an example of how to take a step of faith, how to move on from the past. He's saying, therefore, since we have them, let's remember that we're not supposed to operate with the blind faith. God has given us so many examples of people that we can look up to. We have a whole Bible full of men and women, as we just talked about, who have been exactly where you are, who have gone through what you have gone through. He's saying, remember, you have all those people to look to. Remember their example. But I want to also tell you today that each and every week, we have men and women that walk through these doors every week and sit in these rows who have also overcome great things in their life. There are men and women who have walked exactly where you are, who've experienced the things that you have, who've had to overcome what was a glamorous past to have their lives refocused into what God's plan for them is. We have men and women who have overcome a very painful past and got through something that has scarred their life to step into God's purpose for their life. We also have men and women here every single week that sit in these rows who have at a moment in their life had to step away from friends who were leading them in the wrong direction, away from God, in order to get the right people in their lives. That's why here at Wellspring, we talk about over and over the value that we believe that circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. You can come and sit in these rows each and every week, and you can hear some great things and apply some great things. But it's not until you get yourself into a circle that your life will truly begin to change. That's why we have circles for our children. That's why we have circles for our students. That's why we have circles for our adults. Find a circle. Find a group of people. Find the right voices. Why? Because those are the people that will spur you on towards God. So the first way to leave the past and focus on what lasts is to faith it. The second way to leave the past and focus on what lasts is to find the right voices. And finally, the third way is to free yourself. Is to free yourself. Now that sounds very simple, but let me explain what that means. Let's continue reading the book of Hebrews. So he's saying, therefore, since we've surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. He's saying, so we've got this example of all these great people in our life who have showed us how to take these steps of faith to move on from becoming stuck. But today, he's also, what the writer here is saying, we have to get rid of things that are slowing us down. I want to ask you today, what's holding you back? What's stopping you from moving forward into all that God wants for you? Is it pain? Is it fear? Is it sin? What's holding you back? The author here is telling us we have to get rid of it. We have to strip it off so that we can run with endurance the race that God sets before us. And as we take steps of faith, as we trust God with those big decisions in our life, that helps build faith. That helps us begin to trust Him more. That helps us to leave the past. And as we begin to get the right people in our life, the right voices that surround us, that's another way that our faith builds. But the only way to truly move beyond those things, the only way that all of that is going to work is one thing. And the author tells us how. Check this out. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. In order to move on from our past, ultimately, at the end of the day, we must have our eyes on Jesus. Because He is the one who initiates and perfects our faith. He's the only one who can help us take the step to build those muscles of faith, to make sure we have the right people around us. He's the one that will help us move on from our past and focus on what lasts. Imagine what your life would be like if you were free from the stuff that's holding you back, from that pain that's holding you back. Imagine what that would be like. If you're here today and you have that pain in your life, There's something that scarred you. What I want you to know today is that we have men and women that we partner with in our community that would love a chance to sit with you and talk with you and help you move beyond these things that have scarred you. They're great Christian men and women who will help you know what to do from God's point of view. If you'd like some more information on that, pull out your connection card, right? Give me some counselor help. We'd love to point you in the right direction. You can drop it at the info desk or you can bring it to the Blue Room. Please let us help you take that step. Imagine what it would be like if your life was free from that pain that has scarred you. What if your life was surrounded by people that would point you towards God instead of people that moved you away from God? Imagine what your life would be like, how much different it would be. And imagine if you began to take steps and truly trust God today with whatever decision he's put before you. So at this time of year, at this Christmas time, when we think about Christmases long ago, when we get all those memories that come to our mind again, let's remember those good things. Let's remember what's happened, but let's don't stay there. Let's move on. Let's step into what God wants us to become. Today, some of you need to take a step, and you need to begin to trust God. You know he's asking you to take a step of faith, but your focus is to the past. Take a step today. Trust him. Some of you need to take a hard step, and think about the people that are in your life. And you need to have some hard conversations and say, hey, I'm going to need a little space so that I can get the right people in my life and join a circle. But for some of you here today, you've come here today and you would say, hey, I'm realizing that as we've been discussing all this today, that I realize I have something missing. I realize that the only way to truly free myself is to trust God. And you realize that you have that hole in your life. Today, a week before Christmas, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, why not take that step and follow him today? So I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. For just a minute, I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Pray with me. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, all I would ask you to do is pray this simple prayer with me. Pray this. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Today I am ready to do it your way instead of my way. Today I'm ready to accept your free gift of salvation. And today I'm ready to step into that new life, forgetting my past and focusing on all that you have for me. God, I am ready to begin the lifelong journey of knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we are so excited. All of heaven is rejoicing for you, and we would love to high-five you as well. We'd love to know it. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time today, if you just take out your connection card, write on it, I became a Christ follower today. Bring it to the info desk. Bring it to the Blue Room. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for thinking about ways that we can move beyond our past. We're going to sing one more song in just a minute. And today, let's celebrate that we serve a God, that we follow a God that wants to help us move beyond our past and focus on what lasts. Let's stand together.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.